Well, as you discovered before, you know we have some wonderful visitors with us today, and we have some other special guests with us today. And I'm going to invite them to come forward in just a moment. But as you know, we've been going through a series called Lifesavers, and we've talked about how we don't save lives. As followers of Jesus, only one can save a life, and his name is God. And he does it through his son, Jesus. There's only one that can save a life. But God has he's got a part for us in saving lives. And we've talked about how, as followers of Jesus, we need to live without fear. Because if we have God living within us, his Holy Spirit within us, then we don't have to fear outside people or circumstances or things around us. We don't have to fear those things. We can live in freedom, as we've sung about today. We don't have to live in fear. We talked about, as lifesavers, that we need to be there. We need to be in relationship with people that don't know Jesus in order for us to be able to share Jesus. We've also talked about followers of Jesus, if we are to be lifesavers, that we seek relationship and opportunity. That people don't need to be projects to us. We don't need to go and say, okay, what's your name? Good, I've shared what I need to share with you, now I don't have to remember your name ever again. No, lifesavers seek relationship. An opportunity that as we go in relationship with the people in the world around us, that God presents opportunities for us to share truth and love. That's what lifesavers do. And today we're going to talk a little bit about how lifesavers follow. Now, I'm not talking about following the crowd, but we're talking about following. And how what we've been talking about, what we talk about all the time here at Southwinds, followers of Jesus. And this morning, we have a wonderful privilege to be able to welcome Bill and Julie Edler. Now, you may recognize that last name, Edler, and I'm going to let him tell you the connection there. But I'm going to invite Bill. Would you come on up here with me, please? Bill has come, and Bill, just like all of us as followers of Jesus, he has taken seriously his responsibility in becoming a lifesaver and joining God and saving lives from an eternity without him, to spend an eternity with him. Now, I've got just a few questions. Now, Bill, can you introduce us to your family?
Hi, I'm Bill. And the guy crying in the back there, that's my son, Sam. And he's not crying because I left him. He's crying because he's not allowed to have any more cookies.
Oh, okay.
He loves me very much. And my wife is Julie, and she's the lady there with Sam on her knee. So
perfect.
Yeah, okay.
And now you have some attachments to this church. I mean, besides being a follower of Jesus, you've got some special connections here.
Yes, my brother, well, I guess I'm his brother, is Carl Edler back there. And so then my sister-in-law is Becky, and my niece is Wee Kaylee.
Right on.
That's how we're connected.
Good deal. And now where did you grow up, Bill?
I grew up, same place Carl grew up, in Youngstown, Alberta. It's on a farm just south of a little village called Youngstown. It's about 200 people, maybe, if you include all the farmers and all the dogs.
Okay, all right. perfect. Farmers and dogs, that's good. Excellent. So you grew up in Youngstown, Alberta. You grew up in small town Alberta, grew up on a ranch kind of thing, raising grain and cattle. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, grain and cattle. So would you say that maybe you would be a special pedigreed individual that, you know, you've been raised and you were raised at the feet of the seminary and always in classes and everything your whole life?
Yeah.
Okay, no, yeah, of course, good. Good.
No.
No, just a regular upbringing in a wonderful family that loved God, right?
Yep.
Perfect. But would you say that maybe God has put a special call on your life?
Yes.
Okay, good. Excellent. Bill is here to share with us a little bit of his story and a little bit of what God has called he and his family to do. So, Bill, I'm going to let you share with us, brother.
Okay, thank you. So that interview has taken some of my thunder, but that's okay. Okay, so obviously I'm Bill. My wife, Julie, now she is not from Alberta. She's from a place called Northern Ireland, which is a part of the United Kingdom. And if you want the whole story of that, you can talk to her. It's complicated. So, but we met at OMS headquarters, which is in a place called Greenwood in Indiana in the United States. Here, I'll just... There we go. So that's us. Julie has spent 6 months before in 2008 in a country called Haiti working as a physiotherapist in a medical clinic there. And then in 2010, she was returning to Haiti to go there for the full year. And with OMS, if you're going anywhere for about a year, you have to do a month of training in Indiana. So and in the same year, I was doing a missionary internship through my Bible college that I had went to, which is called Miller College of the Bible in Pembrokeshire, Saskatchewan. And so I was also at training in Indiana. And so that's how we met. And eventually we kept in contact. Obviously, I went to Spain. She went to Haiti. We flew across the ocean a few times and were married in 2011. So as a we've been married for almost 4 years now. And then Sam was born in 2013. And so our plan is to be working at with OMS at a place called the Emmaus Biblical Seminary in Haiti. So that's like a graphical representation of our lives. I'm from Canada. She's from Northern Ireland. We met in the States, and now we're going to Haiti. So it's not very fast. There we go. Okay. So the question is, why would we go to Haiti, right? Why would you move away to a place called Haiti? And the answer is, I've kind of condensed it down, but basically, we both were involved in missions and interested in missions before we were even married. And then since we were married, we've been praying and open to God's leading about what we should do with our lives, whether we should stay in Northern Ireland, which is where we live currently, or we should move back to Canada, or we should go to the mission field. And as we were thinking about this, I was studying, and through my studies, I came across a book called Decision Making in the Will of God, and it challenged me with this question. The question is, how can I best serve God's kingdom? Not what's the least that I can get away with, which I think for me is a temptation, or what's the best way that somebody else can serve God's kingdom, but what's the best way that I can be involved in the Great Commission? So as we thought about this and prayed about it, we kind of came to the conclusion that the best way for us to serve God is to go to the place where the skills that we have are in the greatest need. So the skill that I have is a theological education. In the UK and in Canada, there's lots of other people that also are very well educated. But in Haiti, there's hardly any educated people at all. Many of their pastors have no theological education at all, and some of them can barely even read the Bible for themselves. So they need educated people to teach in the seminary. And Julie she's a physiotherapist. In Northern Ireland right now, there's so many physiotherapists, it's hard for her to even get a job in the health service. But in Haiti, they don't even have a word for physiotherapist in their language. They called her the bone doctor when she was there. So obviously they don't have very many. So the reason, and this is why I kind of said, when you said you have a special call in your life, I don't know if it is a special call, it's just... we think the best way for us to follow the Great Commission is to go to Haiti. So that's kind of the reason we're going. So, sorry about that. Maybe I'll just leave it. There it is. So who is OMS? Not many people have heard about OMS, but it was started in 1901 as in Japan as the Oriental Missionary Society. It was started by an American couple and a Japanese pastor working together in Japan. And their focus is evangelism, church planting, and then training national leaders to take control of their own churches. So that's the OMS focus. That's their mission statement and their fourfold focus. But yeah, you can read, so I'll not read it out. Oh my goodness. So as I said, we're planning on going to a country called Haiti. And Haiti is part of the second largest island in the Caribbean. The other part is the Dominican Republic. Haiti was made famous or infamous around the world through a huge earthquake which hit the capital, Port-au-Prince, in 2010. So as Haiti was obviously very poor already, it was quite a devastating thing. Over 250,000 people died in the earthquake, and over 300,000 people were injured in the earthquake. And even today, 5 years later, Mike is really weird. 5 years later, there's still people that are living in tents. So like 5 years, like today, right now, people lost their homes and they're still living in tents. Haiti was a French colony. It gained its independence in 1804, and it became the first republic in the world ruled by black people. However, its roots are in voodoo. So what happened was, in the early 1800s, the slaves started a rebellion, and when they started it, they prayed literally to Satan to ask him to help them to gain their independence, and in return, they would dedicate their country to Satan for 200 years, and that's exactly what happened. And as you can imagine, in a country that's dedicated to Satan, the place has been plagued by instability and violence and poverty ever since. So that picture is some kind of voodoo sack thing. My wife she's obviously been in Haiti before. She was down in Port-au-Prince, and a lady came to Christ and decided that she was going to leave all her voodoo stuff behind her. And that was, like, I don't understand what it is, but it's something to do with voodoo, and so she was going to go and burn it or bury it or something like that. And that house is just not very far away from the seminary where I'm hoping to teach, and that's a witch doctor's house. And you can tell by the flags that they fly that it's a witch doctor that lives there. So like every little village in all of Haiti would have a witch doctor. So what are we going to do? I plan on teaching at the Emmaus Biblical Seminary. That's a picture of the seminary there. And the joke that I always tell is that's the actual reason we're going, because it is quite beautiful there. But it's a joke. It's a joke. Emmaus is currently, there's a guy called Matt Ayers. He's an American missionary, and he's the president of the seminary. And right now they're working at handing over the seminary to a Haitian man to lead, because again, that's OMS's whole core values, is handing it over to national people. So all the Haitian church, it's all led by Haitians, like all the pastors are Haitians, but the seminary is still led by a missionary, so they're working towards changing that. That's where they're at right now. Theological education is important, obviously, for all church leaders, but in Haiti it's extremely important because of two reasons. Firstly, many pastors have not had any theological training at all, so that leaves them open to false teaching kind of creeping into the churches. For example, there's a guy not far away from the seminary, and he teaches that he will physically, literally, never die. And so obviously he's confused about something. But his congregation, they believe him. And that's kind of the second problem, because they can't read the Bible for themselves. So anything that the pastor says, they believe it. So because of the widespread illiteracy, and because of the lack of training of pastors, theological education is extremely important in a place like Haiti. Julie will be working at the medical center, Bethesda Medical Center, which is where she worked before when she was in Haiti. And they have their it was started by OMS in the 1960s, and their services include now general consultations, laboratory, a TB clinic, an AIDS clinic, a high blood pressure clinic, X-ray, minor surgery, antenatal clinic, and a baby clinic. So there's a lot going on there. On average, the clinic treats about 100 or 150 people a day, and some patients are from the local community. Other people will walk for like 2 or 3 hours just to get there. And all the staff at the clinic are Christians, so they not only cater to the physical needs of people, but they also are there to help them spiritually as well, and there's lots and lots of opportunities for them to pray with people and to share the gospel with people. Bethesda also runs medical clinics, or mobile clinics. Yep. Oh, can you go back one? Mobile clinics. So because it's such a mountainous country, there's a lot of different communities that are very remote. So what they do is they partner with a local church. That would be a local church there. And they run the clinic out of the church, and then they bring doctors and nurses and stuff like that, and medicine with them. And they also bring seminary students, so they not only go there, again, to cater to the physical needs of people, but also the spiritual needs of people. Julie would like to also be involved in that again when she goes, because she was quite involved in organizing those things to happen when she was there before. And Sam, of course, plans on being a very good boy all of the time. So, how can you help? So there's a lot of work in Haiti, and I've kind of very, very briefly tried to outline what we hope to be doing there. And we believe that the gifts that God has given us will be useful in the work that's happening in Haiti, but we can't do it on our own. So if you would like to partner with us in our ministry to the Haitian people, you can do that. There's cards at the back, and you can come and talk to us at the back there about that. Yeah, obviously there's two ways you can partner with us, through prayer, which is extremely important, and there's a sign-up sheet at the back if you'd like to get our prayer letters, and Julie will also be writing a blog when we actually do go. And also, of course, through financial support, which you can write in the card about that if you're interested in that. And if you want any more information or have any questions or anything like that, you can come and talk to us. There's some pictures and some more information on that table at the back. So thank you very much for having us, and I hope that made sense. Sorry about the slideshow.
No, that's great. Thank you, Bill. We are so glad to have you with us. And before I ask you to sit down, I am just going to... Is Julie still in here? Does she need to take... Okay, she's with Sam. Okay, no problem. We understand. But I have asked... Carl, would you come on up, man? I've asked Bill's brother, Carl, if you would come and pray for him. And if I could just get maybe a couple other people to come up here and just put your hands on Bill as Carl prays. And we are just going to pray for them. So you join us, whether from your seat or just a few people up here. But... pray for Bill and for Julie, and if God is telling you to partner with them in any way, be obedient. Don't just dismiss it, but ask God. Ask him, God, how do I need to partner with them? How do I, from Calgary, Alberta, how can I partner in the work that you're going to do through them in Haiti? But would you pray for Bill and for the bone doctor? Amen. 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 Follow. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, he said, if anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And that's a call, just like Carl prayed and just like Bill shared with us. It's a call given to each and every one of us, that if we want to follow Jesus where he goes, we got to deny ourselves, we've got to pick up our own cross and follow him. If we want to go where he goes, we've got to follow. And Bill and Julie and Sam are following Jesus across an ocean. They're following Jesus to a place called Haiti to train and equip pastors and leaders. Now for you, it may be that God is saying, I want you to go across the street. I heard a story just recently about a man who God put it on his heart to go and mow his neighbor's yard. His neighbor was an elderly gentleman, and he said, I want you to go and mow his yard. So he went and he began to mow his yard, and his neighbor stepped out and said, what are you doing? I didn't tell you you could mow my yard. He said, I'm not paying you for this. And the guy who was mowing the yard, the neighbor, said, no, sir, you're not going to pay me for this. God told me to come mow your yard, and so I'm going to mow your yard, if that's okay. And he said, well, oh, okay, sure. The story goes on. He mowed his yard for 5 years. For 5 years, he mowed his yard. And you know what happened in the midst of those 5 years? They formed a relationship. And as he mowed that yard for the 5 years, they formed a relationship. And then this gentleman came down with cancer. And you know, they got to have several conversations. And then he trusted this gentleman in the midst of his battle with cancer, trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and as his Savior. And shortly after that, he passed away. Somebody that took seriously, just like Bill and Julie are taking seriously the call that Jesus says, you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Whether it's across an ocean or whether it's across the street, Jesus says, follow me. And if you go where I will go, then I'll use you. But you got to be willing to go anywhere and do anything that I tell you. Lifesavers follow, and they follow only one, and they follow Jesus. Southwinds, let's think about that as we reflect on what God is going to be doing through Bill and Julie, as we reflect on what God wants to do through our lives. Let's remember that lifesavers follow, and that wherever Jesus says go, that we must go.